Hi, I'm Willis Kern. Thanks for choosing Sound Money on GLT, and thanks for listening to the Sound Money Podcast.
Support for GLT comes from Justin M. Boyd, financial representative at Country Financial, offering clients a one-on-one experience to meet all of their financial and insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business, and retirement options. More at facebook.com/Justin Boyd Country. This is GLT.
In the last edition of Sound Money, we spent a great deal of time talking about some of the expenses you might incur during retirement years, including health care costs. We're going to talk a little bit more about that with Edgar Norton, who is the director of Illinois State University's Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. So when do you start planning for your retirement, specifically the health care costs?
20 years ago?
Yeah, 30, 40 years ago even.
Yeah, it is a sizable chunk. In retirement, you want to have you'd like to have enough financial resources to meet your living expenses, but studies show the average 65-year-old couple will spend about $250,000 on healthcare expenses during their retired life. And so a lot of people are kind of surprised. $250,000, that's a big chunk of change.
And if you're retiring before age 65, then it's maybe even more than that.
Even more, as long as you're not retiring for health reasons. But if you're strong and healthy, the longer you live, that healthcare cost goes up.
So let's break down this $250,000. I suppose a big chunk of it is long-term health care, right? I mean, having a place to live.
It's even smaller than that. Well, it's little things that add up over time. Mm-hmm. If you live another 20, 25 years, you're paying Medicare premiums every year. And if you're married, you and your spouse are making double payments for Medicare premiums. You go to the doctor or hospital or surgery, whatever, there's co-pays. People sometimes think that Medicare covers everything, and it doesn't. There's co-pays, there's deductibles, like most other health insurance programs. Medicare doesn't cover everything. It doesn't cover long nursing home stays, for example. It does not cover my eyeglasses. If I want a vision checkup, Medicare is not going to cover that. You go to the dentist, you need a crown put on or a root canal. That's not covered by Medicare. And so all those things that might happen as you get older and age and the ears and eyes and teeth don't work as well, need some dentures, that's not covered by Medicare. So that's how that $250,000 adds up in dribs and drabs over time.
So if you don't have a supplemental plan of some kind, you really need to come up with that money in some fashion.
Well, that's the advantage of supplemental plans. They take away some of the risk. Obviously, they cost money. You have to pay the premium on that. But it does take away some of the unknown as to what those future expenses might be, since the supplemental or Medigap plan will cover some of the things that Medicare doesn't cover. But they cover it at a cost.
What about the cost of paying for a nursing home care or assisted living or some kind of long-term care?
Ouch, yeah. The stats are that a healthy percentage of us may spend some time in a nursing home. And that's a great way to use up some of that nest egg. The average cost of a nursing home, well, it depends where you live. In a metro area, it'll be more expensive, over $100,000 a year. I've saw some of the stats. Other places, it might be $60,000, $80,000 a year. But still, that's a lot of money, mm-hmm. Especially if there's a spouse still alive who's living at home with the home expenses. Someone's in a nursing home, and that can really eat up someone's nest egg if they haven't taken precautions to either save up a lot of money or to have long-term care insurance, where the long-term care insurance will help pay some of those assisted care bills.
But again, if you're heading into retirement, that's probably not the best time to start buying long-term care insurance.
Well, the sweet spot I've heard for buying long-term care insurance is in the 50s. Mm-hmm. You do have to pay an annual premium. And so if you're younger than that, you're paying premiums for too long. And no surprise, as you get older, the premiums go up higher. And your risk goes up higher. And so the balance between benefit versus cost seems to be in the 50s. Long-term care does scare off a lot of people. At least the insurance concept scares off people. They like the idea of the insurance. They don't like the idea of paying for it. It could be several thousand dollars a year for one person, depending upon how much the insurance will cover and if there's an inflation rider on there and such. But it is a lifetime expense. You're paying that bill for as long as you live. And the biggest argument people give about not buying long-term care insurance is, well, what if I never go into the nursing home? A large percentage of us will be in nursing homes at some point in our life, but some of us won't. And so what if I buy the insurance and never use it?
You can't transfer it to a spouse or a child?
Some policies are for a couple, mm-hmm. where it might cover 6 years of nursing home. And so if one spouse passes away without ever needing it, well, the other spouse can have access to all 6 years. If one spouse spends 2 years in a nursing home, well, then the other spouse will have 4 years left. One of the big arguments I hear from people against buying long-term care insurance is, well, what if I pass away and never go into a nursing home or need assistant care? Then it's just wasted money. And, well, you know, how did you feel the last time you got your car insurance bill? Did you say, oh, you know, I didn't have an accident the last 6 months, so that was a waste of money. I really don't need – well, yes, you do need it. It's legally required. But, you know, nobody ever complains about not having an accident. It's a good thing. Your car insurance is buying you peace of mind and buying you protection in case that does happen. Same thing with long-term care insurance. You're buying peace of mind and you're buying protection for the nest egg. If you don't if you have long-term care insurance, well, then that's money that won't be spent on medical bills down the line. That's money you can leave to your kids or to your surviving spouse.
You mentioned a moment ago something that's scary in all this planning. Something else that's really scary, even for people who aren't retired, it's for people who deal with work situations and life every day, is the whole changing environment of the healthcare industry. It's constantly in motion. We had the Obamacare that came into practice here just a couple of years ago. Things seem to be evolving and changing with that. So when you're retiring and you're trying to plan for an environment, it makes it kind of tough.
Indeed, it does, and it's not intuitive when you read through all this stuff. For most of us, it's not the easiest thing to wade through, and so you do want to talk to someone who's knowledgeable about Medicare, what the coverages are, learn about the different Medigap policies, and talk to someone about long-term care insurance. Just one more other point about that. As I mentioned before, people don't like to spend the money on long-term care because what if I don't need it? There are some hybrid packages out there, some hybrid insurance packages, combinations of life insurance and long-term care. So if you're lucky enough and never go into a nursing home, there will be some money left over after you pass on that you can then leave as a legacy or to beneficiaries. And so you may want to, if you don't have long-term care insurance, you know, contact some insurance agents and ask about those hybrid life insurance / long-term care policies.
And health savings accounts, too. They can help also because they can be kind of almost like a hedge against this $250,000 you're going to have to spend, right?
Indeed. The trick with them is you're allowed to have a health savings account if you have what's called a high-deductible health plan. In other words, you can't have an HMO, whatever, or your employer-sponsored. You have to sign up for a high-deductible health plan.
And that means that you're basically paying a lot every time you use
healthcare. You're paying a lot. For a single person in 2016, the deductible is $1,300.
Wow.
So the first $1,300, Mr. and Ms. Single Person, is out of your pocket. If it's a family situation, which I guess is two or more people, the deductible is $2,600. So high deductible means high deductible. And so you're allowed to have a health savings account where you can save up over time to help maybe pay for those big bills if they come down the pike in a few years. But the health savings account is a wonderful, wonderful idea. It acts like an IRA. The money you put in there is pre-tax, just like your regular IRA money. The money can be invested in stocks, bonds. The money grows tax-deferred. And if you take the money out for health care expenses, it's tax-free. And if you take the money out, you know, after age 65, you can use it for anything. It doesn't have to be used for health care expenses. You have to pay tax on it when you take it out if you don't use it for health care expenses once you hit age 65. But it's like a supplemental IRA.
And it's kind of a reward maybe for keeping good health too. Maybe you're lucky in that regard, but some people are conscious about how they live their lives, and this is maybe a nice reward for them.
And you are taking the risk of not having those high deductibles, the big health expenses. And so one thing about the health savings account is you cannot contribute to it after age 65. As long as you're younger than 65, you can contribute to funds if you're single. This year, up to over $3,000 you can contribute to it. If it's a family situation, about $6,700 can be contributed. But once you hit 65, you can no longer make contributions to that HSA.
So while $250,000 sounds like a lot of money, there are some ways to kind of reduce maybe the pressure and some of the tension that goes along with planning and spending in retirement for health care. Edgar Norton, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Willis.
Edgar Norton directs Illinois State's new Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. I'm Willis Kern.